Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
Hello?
Podcast of verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Hello, can I talk to Mr. David? Dave Bowman?
Approach and identify.
Hello?
Self-fulfilling prophecy. You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, unless they see it's reported in the press, that this, and this, so they have that validation that the press reported the smear.
Man, battle station's missile.
Chief of Watch, sign the general alarm.
From the Buy With Rob studio, located in beautiful Silverdale, Washington, this is the Dave Bowman Show. Now, here is your submarine-qualified, well-coffeed, stuffy, elitist history buff host, Dave Bowman.
Well, it's coming here, first of all.
Initiating fire.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So, perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, meltdowns, discourse, political or otherwise, global warming, and the question, politics and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, I was wrong. It's not the first time I've ever been wrong. Won't be the last time I'm ever wrong. It's also why I generally avoid predictions, except for NFL games. It's also a hazard of the job. Well, we've got an Op Rep 3 situation, faded giant. No, not baseball or even football, but it is a meltdown. Plus, the Earth is getting warmer, and now we must double our efforts. And the question still remains. That's why I do what I do. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email remains Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web. Just look for us on thedavebowmanshow.com or on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, or whatever preferred non-denominational website you use that takes you to thedavebowmanshow.com or podcast99.com. A loqui conizio, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. So I'm still learning how to use this broadcast software. I have no idea how I managed to kill a camera, but I did the other day. So if things look a little weird at times, sorry. Like right now, I can't get the sizing right. I've fiddled with this about an hour. There, maybe that's right. Who knows? Still working on that. Bad day to be a Colorado sports fan. Fortunately, I'm only half of one. And it's raining here. I don't know about where you are, but it's that time of year here. I just want to crawl back into bed and go back to sleep. But the show must go on. That's what they say, right? So I was wrong. It's not the first time I've ever been wrong in a political The problem with predicting things is that inherently there are factors that you don't either know about or take into account. I guess the factor that I hadn't really considered on the Kavanaugh nomination was the reactionary position of some politicians, in the sense that it should have been the first thing in my mind, which is what vote is going to get me reelected. That's what they care about. You can give all the speeches you want. You can stand out in front of people on national television and pontificate to your heart's content while two other senators sit behind you and look whatever the hell that was. you can do that all you want. But really, the only question that actually needs to be asked is, will this get me reelected? Yes or no? Will this win me votes? Yes or no? And if the answer is yes, then they will do it. If the answer is no, it doesn't matter how passionately they believe something or feel about something or how badly something scares them. It doesn't matter. If the answer is no, it will not get you reelected, they will not do it. And so I guess I should have taken that better into account on this. And again, Justice Kavanaugh is about what you would expect from a Trump appointment. I mean, he would not have been my first choice by any stretch of the imagination. He is not replacing Judge Kennedy. He's Justice Kennedy. He's not. Justice Kennedy was a libertarian. He's often referred to as a swing vote, but that's ridiculous. His position was actually libertarian. He tended to protect the rights of the citizen under the Constitution. And I don't see Kavanaugh doing that. I really don't. His previous forays into rulings indicate to me that he certainly favors the government when it comes to spying on you. He certainly buys into the national security argument, and that's someone I don't necessarily want on the Supreme Court. But that having been done, and reality being what it is, I don't know, maybe one of the other judges, maybe Roberts, will become more libertarian and less whatever the heck he's been, because what he's actually been is political through there. So we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, he's on the court, and this has created the meltdown, the Op Rep 3. Op Rep 3 is it's an old military term. I don't even know if they still use it or not. In my day, an Op Rep 3 was a serious incident, an operational report. Something has gone wrong, and it was about nuclear stuff, whether it was weapons or reactors or whatever. And an Op Rep 3 fated giant was a reactor potential meltdown. So that's what we've got today. We've got an Op Rep 3 fated giant, a meltdown of nuclear proportions that is supposedly sweeping the country. That's what I'm told when I turn on my news this morning. I'm told that everywhere people are in the streets and yelling and screaming and chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho. Kavanaugh has got to go. What a, come on. Seriously, protesters? Come on. If we're going to sit here and criticize Hollywood for not having an original idea in its skull anywhere. By the way, they are remaking A Few Good Men. Did you know that? They are planning to remake A Few Good Men. Yeah, that one. Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore, Kevin Pollak. They're going to remake that because apparently sophisticated audiences today can't watch it and go, well, there's not enough heads exploding and there's not enough action in this courtroom drama. So they're going to remake that. That's the point where you realize Hollywood has no idea. And if we're going to criticize them for not having any real ideas, seriously, get some chants that aren't from the 1960s, for God's sake. I don't really care what you're protesting. If your protest consists of, hey, hey, ho, ho, something, something, got to, sad, lame, lame, lame. Not even the people of my generation who were the people chanting that are chanting that anymore, because we recognize the fact that times have changed, and that sounds stupid. Stupid. Sorry, I got off on something I wasn't planning to get off on there. I political protests are entertaining, but they're just recycled. That's all they are. It's like nobody has anything intelligent to say. If we just get enough people to stand out here and chant, somehow or another, it will change. It's sad. Yes. Anyway, to watch the news this morning, you'd think that these people are on every street corner in America, and I haven't seen one. And I did go driving this morning. Haven't seen any. Now, I will grant you that I live in a military town, but I also know that when they had the big anti-gun protest a few months ago, there were There were several hundred people down by the mall. There's nothing today. I'm told that they're going to shut down the country. But again, I think what it comes down to is it's like political engagement. The reason we're not really headed for a civil war is because so few people are actually engaged in anything in politics. They're really not. 95% of the people in America couldn't care less. I mean, we already know that at least half of them don't generally vote. So the level of engagement is so low that what you're actually seeing are the rantings of a few. Now, I got to be careful I say that because, again, what I do is the rantings of the few. I sit here and tell you what I think about stuff. But, you know, in the spirit of self-delusion, I like to convince myself that it doesn't occupy my entire life. And it doesn't. It does not occupy. I wish I could sit here and tell you, like some people in this biz, that this is what I do 24/7. I watch politics. I never get off of C-SPAN. I never, you know, those kinds of things. But I'm not. I feel like I'm connected to it. I feel like I'm involved with it, but I have a life. And that used to be my tagline for the show. I have a life outside of news, issues, and politics. We actually get into things that are, you know, meaningful in the sense of other things. I'm fascinated by theology and religion, as you know. I have lots of questions, but I'm fascinated by it. I love baseball. In the middle of the vote the other day, was Pat. Pat, the lawyer, texted me. He said, "Are you watching the vote?" I said, "Hell no, there's baseball on. Are you kidding me? No, nothing I can do watching this is going to change anything. I'll get a text when it's over saying which way it went. In the meantime, I want to watch baseball. That's what I wanted to watch, and so I did. I like to spend time with my son. It was kind of fun this morning waking him up for his Monday because I invented a song for him to wake him up, and he listened to the song for like 2 minutes. You know, pretending to be asleep. And then he finally opened his eyes and he said, "What that is mostly annoying." That's fine. Get up. We can do this the hard way if you want. Just get up. And proceeded to drag his blankets on. Anyway, point being that most of the population is not that engaged. And I think in some degree, you're seeing that here. The idea that the entire country is coming apart at the seams over the Kavanaugh nomination is ludicrous. It's not happening. It's not. I know you want to, some of you want to believe that it is, some of you want to believe that it is for different reasons, but it's not. The vast majority of the country probably buys into the national security argument. They probably buy into the idea that whatever the government does to keep us safe from the terrorists is a good thing, so why would they even care? They don't. The other half of the people that are engaged, so really, you're looking at 5% probably politically engaged, and they're split pretty evenly. So 2.5% of the population is probably what you're talking about here. And yet somehow or another, we're led to believe that this is the end of civilization. My God, if you'd have read the LA Times and the New York Times this morning, you would be amazed at how insane it's become. I mean, put aside the people on Twitter. You got one person on Twitter, a school teacher up in Minnesota, that's in trouble this morning because she tweeted, "Who's going to take one for the team and kill Kavanaugh?" Okay. First off, if you are actually a teacher, and this is part of the problem I have with teachers. Teachers are too young, but that's a subject for another day. Number one, who's a teacher that's stupid enough to say that? I mean, really, even if you believe it, who's stupid enough to say that on Twitter? Okay, well, apparently this teacher, this elementary school teacher in Minnesota was. She probably will be looking for a new job soon, I would imagine, and explaining some things to the Secret Service and so forth and so on. But you get that person. Then you get the person from the Colbert Show who tweets, "Well, if nothing else, we ruined his life." You ruined his life? You made things uncomfortable for a while, but believe me, you didn't ruin anything because he's on the Supreme Court and you're still a writer for a show that very few people actually watch. Oh, don't give me that crap about it's a very popular show. It's a very popular show with people who watch late night television, which is a very small percentage of the country. And the fact of the matter is that you didn't do your boss any favors by tweeting that, because everybody knows that you work for him. And now he's going to have to explain why while he goes on TV and says, what's wrong with our politics? His writers are saying things like this publicly on Twitter. Again, Twitter, I firmly believe Twitter gets people fired. That's what it does. But if you were to go to the LA Times and New York Times today, you would be amazed at just the utter UpRep 3 faded giant meltdown that we're being trying to convince is happening here. We're already watching plans. Do you know what we should do? More radical ways to fight Kavanaugh, says the New York Times this morning. Oh, we're going to do other things. We're going to impeach him. Okay, good luck with that. So, you're going to have to win the House, which admittedly is a possibility that they could win the House. And you're going to have to get articles of impeachment passed. And then that's going to become an issue in your election, that your re-election that you're already running for in less than 2 years now. So if you get those articles of impeachment actually passed, which is problematic to begin with, remember that only one Supreme Court justice in the entire history of the country has ever been impeached. Other federal court justices have been, but Supreme Court only one. Then you're going to have to get 2/3 of the Senate to agree, which you're not going to get. Sorry, you're just not. And even it's not going to happen. So realizing amongst some of them that this is not going to happen, they're already talking about packing the court when they win in 2020, when Trump is out and they have a Democrat president and control of the Senate and control of the House. They're talking about packing the court. Well, you know, even Roosevelt tried that. It didn't work that well. I think you'll find that much as what has happened here is that the vast majority of the public is going to view this negatively. It's the same marketing that the NFL problem has. I mean, when you start pissing off the people that pay your salaries, things don't go that well. They just don't. And you're going to have to back off and you're going to have to rethink things and you're going to have to consider them, because quite frankly, it's not working. And that's the problem. But the insanity level that we are seeing does cause a problem. And again, I accept that it's a very small portion of the population. I really do. I do not believe this is not the French Revolution, folks. There are not thousands upon thousands of common folks streaming into the streets screaming death to the king. That's not happening. I don't really care what you watch on TV or the news or wherever. It's not happening. There are, however, a very small minority of vocal people on both sides, don't kid yourselves, on both sides, who are rabble-rousing for the reasons that they always do. Which could be that they're trying to change your mind, but it's probably more likely they're bored and they don't have anything else to do. I speak to conservatives today. All of you people that are posting your thing about Justice Ginsburg forgetting the Constitution! She had to be handed a copy of the Constitution because she couldn't remember what was in the 14th Amendment. You know who you are posting this nonsense. Did you actually watch the video of her being handed the Constitution? Did you actually watch it, or did you just post it again because Breitbart or whoever told you to, because, look, Justice Ginsburg is old and feeble? Which is it? Did you actually watch the video? Do you know what she forgot in the Constitution? Do you know what she couldn't verbatim recall? Which, by the way, she could recall the content, just not the actual verbatim words. Do you know what it was that she couldn't remember? Now, before you do anything else, put everything down. No books, no constitutions, no cheat sheets, nothing. What is the actual verbiage of Section 2 of the 14th Amendment? Go. I'll wait. That's right. You don't know either. Nobody does. You might know the actual, you know, content of it, as Justice Ginsburg did, but you don't know the verbiage of it either. So your post about she don't know the Constitution, why are you making that? There's only one reason you could possibly be making that post, and that is you want to insult Justice Ginsburg. That's it. That's the only reason you could be making it, because you don't know either. But your media told you to do it, and off you went and did it. And now you want me to sit here and criticize the other side because their media told them to go out and do something and they went out and did it. You're just as stupid as they are. And they're just as stupid as you are. Stop it. At what point does someone stand up and say, today I will not do this? As a Star Trek episode like that. Remember Kirk stands up and says, today I will not kill. Today I will behave myself. Today I will start a different way of behaving. When do we do that? When do we stand up and go, you know what? I'm going to start thinking for myself instead of listening to what everybody else tells me that I should be thinking. I'm not going to post this stupid video because A, I bothered to watch it first, and it doesn't portray what I'm being told that it portrayed. Oddly enough, headlines tend to do that. Oh, we complain about this all the time in the newspaper, fake news. Oh, look, this headline. This headline is screaming this, that, and the other. But when you read the actual article, it doesn't say that. Well, why don't you read the articles that you're reposting first? I know, we're too busy trying to figure out if we've been hacked or not on Facebook. So that's probably taking up a lot of our time. I get it. But as a general rule of thumb, both sides are guilty of the same stupid thing. And then both sides sit there and bitch about the fact that there's fake news everywhere. Well, you know, look in the mirror. Don't post stuff that you know or should know or a reasonable person should know isn't true. Just because Breitbart told you something doesn't make it so. So I had people posting the other day about Maxine Waters being charged with ethics violations. Did you know that? Yep. Screaming and yelling. Maxine Waters charged. How is this woman still in Congress? Blah, blah, blah. Those violations were 10 years ago, folks. Well, not 8 years ago, I guess. They were in 2010. Read the article before you post it. Read it. Learn it. Know it. Right? Anyway. Sorry, I have no idea where I was supposed to go with this, but the problem is, we're giving too much attention to all these idiots. That's the problem right there. We're not thinking for ourselves. We're not standing up and going, you know what? Today, I will think for myself. I will not simply accept something as factual simply because someone told me. Even Dave. If Dave told me, I'm definitely going to go look it up. I used to tell my congregation that. Yeah, just because I say it from the pulpit doesn't make it true. You should go actually read it for yourself. And for that, I was told that I was, well, that was a long time ago in a different life. Okay. A life I don't like to talk about much. I was basically told that I shouldn't do that because people want to hear confidence from their preachers. And basically what you're saying is I might be wrong. Well, I might be. I was wrong about Kavanaugh. I said he wouldn't. I didn't think he would be confirmed. And he was, although it was only 50 votes. So it's not a majority, right? He's not legit, screams the LA Times today. He's not legit. He's not legitimate. Okay. Why is he not legitimate? Well, because we don't like him. I don't like Kagan. She not legit? Is that how that works? I don't like somebody, so they're not legitimate. We wonder why this problem. We wonder why this country has problems. We wonder why we're going downhill. We wonder why we buy into every piece of crap news story that fits our agenda. It's because we don't think at all. None of us. We all react the same way. And then we stand there with our hands out like Colbert going, why is our political discourse so bad? Well, maybe because your writers are tweeting things like, well, if nothing else, we screwed up this guy's life. And I'm glad for that. Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, I think that the vast majority of the American people see this and just go, God, these people. And then they turn to their checkbooks and their bank statements and they try to figure out how to make ends meet for the next 2 weeks. Because that's what really matters in the real world. Justice Kavanaugh, I will go on record and say this. This is a prediction that I think is going to be... They're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade. If your argument is Roe v. Wade is now in danger, you're an idiot. Roe v. Wade is not in danger. Sorry, it's just not. Gay rights, not in danger, not going to change. Sorry, just not. I know that there are people who believe that they are. I know that, because I've got them as some of my friends. they're not. Not going to change. Sorry, just not gonna. Unless somehow or another President Trump gets to nominate, I don't know, four more justices, because, you know, there's a big bus crash or something, and he gets to nominate four more justices, and things happen, you know. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but the likelihood of that happening is very low, extremely low. You can't say it'll never happen, because, you know, obviously we're going to get hit by an asteroid someday, too. It's going to happen. But that ain't gonna. So what's your real concern here? If your real concern is that Trump nominated him, well, tough shit. That's just the way it is. Remember this line? We won. Remember that? Tough shit. You didn't win. So that's the way it works. If your real concern is more problematic and based in actual things that might or could or rulings that have happened, then we got a bigger discussion. But right now, we don't. This idea of just standing there pounding on the door because, you know, there you go, is pretty absurd. And that's part of the problem with the whole thing. That's part of the problem. It's part of the reason why we continue to have these issues. And it's part of my frustration with Facebook, which just logged me out again, because I don't know why it logged me out again. I have no idea why it's doing this. I have not been hacked. I have not been hacked. I have not bought into the stupid scam thing going around all weekend. I never did buy into it. I don't need to post that I didn't buy into it, because I don't buy into it. But at the same time, for some reason, in the middle of shows now, Facebook has decided that it's going to log me out. So I have no idea not that I ever pay any attention to it anyway, because I don't. I mean, I do sort of during the breaks and stuff. I'll go look at it, but it's hard to watch the chat room. This is why I prefer the text machine, because the text machine is much easier to read, much easier to follow than a chat. I know we've always had chat room. I know that's why we do this, so we can have a chat, but anyway, so I have no idea if it's still running or not. If it is, great. If it isn't, well, you can listen to it on podcast and keep up there. There's other stuff happening in the world today. There's baseball happening. Getting ready to start in just a few moments. There is this new report from the United Nations about the Earth is heating up. And I had an interesting discussion over the weekend on social media about how do we change things? Do we need to change things? And how do we go about doing it? So we'll get into some of that, I think, as well. Apparently it is still on, so that's good. Anyway, stay with us. We'll be right back right after this on The Dave Bowman Show.
You are listening to The Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Listen live at podcast99.org.
All right, welcome back. Tis I, Dave. It's the Dave Bowman Show. Area code 209-565. Dave is the text machine. Email remains Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And of course, we're on the web. Just look for thedavebowmanshow.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and also at podcast99.org. So I chose that title because not only are we having the meltdown today, and I call it, I'm told that it's a meltdown. The New York Times, the LA Times tell me it's a meltdown. I don't really think that it is. I don't think the country's coming apart at the seams. I really don't. I think the vast majority of people are looking at this whole thing going, God, these people are idiots. But anyway, it was this day in 1957 that you had an accident at the nuclear facility in England. That was one of the first nuclear reactor accidents. I don't know much about it. I know that the idea of a meltdown is pretty minor. I mean, it's not a huge thing concern wise. It's not something that, oh my God, every reactor is going to, it takes some extraordinary circumstances to have it happen. So I'm not all that worried about it. It was also this day, as Alex told you there, the Great Chicago Fire. 4 square miles of Chicago But oddly enough, for some reason, people don't seem to know this. Chicago, the Chicago fire killed 250 people, burned, like I said, 4 square miles. But at the at virtually the same time, the city of Peshtigo, Wisconsin, Wisconsin, of course, being where the real Americans live, Wisconsin burned to the ground. Killed 1,152 people. Did you know that? I had no idea. I didn't. I had no idea that that had happened. And that being the case, I guess it's one of those cases where this kind of talks about what I'm saying here with the fact that, you know, the noise being generated is generated by a very small percentage. So you have this city that burns to the ground, 1,100 people are dead, but because it's in Wisconsin, where the real Americans live, and not Chicago, the windy city, the second city, the big city, virtually nobody knows about it. I mean, now you do, but it's like, what the heck? How come we don't know about this stuff? How come nobody ever tells us this stuff? Why? Jeez. Strange, and stranger, even as we watch the world go by. I don't know. Stormy Daniels was in Sacramento over the weekend. This story just continues to me. So we spent all last week basically talking about exposed breasts and buttocks, women dancing naked, or not naked because they have pasties and G-strings. I've never actually been to a strip club in California, so I don't know what the rules are in California. I assume they're similar, but I don't know that for a fact. But apparently, Stormy Daniels came to dance naked in front of creepy old guys in Sacramento and sold out the club. She played up her national spotlight walking out to American Woman by Lenny Kravitz. That's a cover tune, right? Lenny Kravitz's American Woman is a cover tune. Isn't that Grand Funk Railroad that did that song originally? Trying to remember, and I don't have my chat room, so you have to text me, area code 209-565. Dave, I'm pretty sure that was Grand Funk Railroad. But Lenny Kravitz gets credit for it. I don't get it. Anyway, she was wearing a red, white, and blue sequined dress and stripped down nude, so I guess rules are different. This is where it gets creepy, folks. The voices of women rang louder than those of the men in the crowd. She also danced to Tom Petty's An American Girl as she squirted her body with lotion to loud cheers and screams. Can't make this stuff up, folks. This is from the Sacramento Bee. Many women said that Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, drew them to see her perform, quote, because of her willingness to speak publicly about her past relationship with Trump. So, because of her previous profession as a prostitute, sleeping with rich men, women were drawn to see her dance naked and squirt lotion on herself, simulating, by the way, a sex act. Samantha Paulson said, I'm not here to watch her get naked or strip. I just wanted to show support for another woman. She has the guts to talk about her experiences and her views. That's not why people are paying her money. They're paying her money to see her get naked. Anyway, Shoshana Steele said she came out to see Daniel. She's not a strip club. I'm not a regular at strip clubs, she wanted you to know. But this is influencing politics. This is a surprise to me. Lars Gutenberg, who's the manager of the club, said normally women make up about 20% of the crowd. But with Daniels there, it was about 50%. We're definitely seeing more interest from women and older, more affluent people. There's a lot of political motivation. She has a name you recognize, whether it's polarizing one way or the other. So women like to go to strip clubs? I mean, okay. I know my grandma liked the guy shows, but this is the dichotomy of our society, folks. This is why our society is schizophrenic right here. Okay. We want to go out and support a prostitute, a stripper, a woman who slept with men for money. What do you call that? It's prostitution, folks. That's what it is. A woman who signs a non-disclosure agreement, a contract saying, I will do this for money, and then doesn't do that. But she's going to get naked for money again, squirt lotion on herself in front of creepy old dudes. That's what it says. Old affluent dudes. Affluent, by the way, being a code word for white. White rich dudes. And now women. All the while, we have to supposedly, you know, believe every accusation that's made for any reason. Well, 2 and 2 equals 4, I guess, still. If you're going to act and behave this way, why are we surprised when weird stuff happens? Why are we surprised when crazy stuff happens? It's, you know, I'm enough of a libertarian that I don't care. I mean, if people want to go pay money to see Stormy Daniels squirt lotion on herself, that's their business. I don't care. I really don't. As long as it's being done between consenting adults, have at it. I really just don't. I know I'm supposed to be moral Puritan because I'm a conservative chat show host and we're all, you know, Bible thumping, whatever. And I'm just not. I just don't care. I really don't. If two consenting adults want to dress up in pink tutus and squirt lotion on each other, have at it. I don't care. But when we got to have it thrown in our face, at the same time being told that our behavior is not acceptable in any way, shape, or form, but here's a woman who wants to take her clothes off and squirt lotion on herself, and come on, people, come on. Are we really that stupid? Are we really supposed to go, well, she's just expressing herself? No, she's not. She's simulating a sex act. For God's sakes, how stupid do you have to be? And don't give me the BS about, no, she's not. She's simulating fantasy and sex act. That's what she's doing for money. Period. Sorry, I better get off that before I get launched into two, start getting, just makes me mad. Iran is in the news again. They are launching major missile strikes targeting its adversaries in both Iraqi Kurdistan and Syria in the most significant series of missile strikes the country has undertaken in almost 2 decades. Now let's back up a little bit. So a few weeks ago, Iran was having a military parade. Remember this? They were having a big military parade. Out of the crowd jumps a bunch of gunmen. They gun down a bunch of people, kill a bunch of people. And Iran immediately blamed Israel and the United States. And so their response to this is to launch major missile strikes into Syria and Kurdistan. And remember, Iran technically is on Russia's side in the war in Syria. So who is it they're shelling with these missiles? Ostensibly our allies, I suppose. And we've always been kind of buddy-buddy with the Kurds anyway, because they didn't like Saddam. And until Saddam started dropping nerve gas on them, then we kind of went, well, you're on your own, sorry. But of course, there were no weapons of mass destruction, so it couldn't have been nerve gas, it had to be something else. But in any case, we kind of abandoned. So Iran is helping Russia to crush the anti-Assad people by firing their largest series of missile strikes in 2 decades. They fired their long-range Zulfikar missiles and Qim-1 missiles at ISIS targets. ISIS targets, folks. ISIS. See, when Iran hits them, they're ISIS targets. When we are on their side, then they're coalition friends. Jesus. Anyway, Iran is firing ballistic missiles. I love the headline. Lobs ballistic missiles. I mean, that's what you do with a ballistic missile. You're just kind of lobbing it on a ballistic arch and seeing where it goes. Of course, it should cause people to kind of step back and go, wait a second. Remember when Iran was talking about the nuclear deal and the fact that we're just doing this for peacetime stuff? Well, why are you building why are you building ballistic missiles? And why are you lobbing ballistic missiles? Why do you have ballistic missiles? They're not really all that effective when you put conventional warheads on them. They just, you know, they're just They're just inaccurate, longer range bombs. You don't have to fly an airplane, which, of course, is the answer. They don't have an air force. But there you go. Iran's use of missiles in recent combat underscored some shortcomings. The missiles went off course more than once during the strikes. Two of the missiles landed in Iran. Whoops. Which means that one third of the strike package did not make it near its targets. That's a hell of a CEP. Circular area of probability. CEP is what we use to define if you have a set target, how many of your missiles will land within 50% of that target. And so when a third of your strike package doesn't even make it out of your country, that's probably not good. More broadly, the attacks demonstrated the headway Iran has made in missile production over the last few decades. The Shah's military had an enormous and modern air force, but did not have ballistic missiles. His Islamic Republic successor has since made significant headway in both acquiring and producing ballistic missiles and not really done much with their air force. In fact, they were kind of being mocked a few weeks ago because they rolled out a revamped F-5E Tiger airplane and called it something new and said, look, we've developed our own new airplane, except that it wasn't. It was a very old U.S. F-5E Tiger airplane that they basically repainted and then ran that out there. So there you go. So there's that. The United Nations has informed us that we must do more. A landmark report for the United Nations Scientific Panel on Climate Change paints a far more dire picture of the immediate consequences of climate change than previously thought. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that next year they're going to have a report that will show that it's even more dire than that and more immediate consequences. The report issued Monday by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says that we're going to have food shortages and wildfires, mass die-off of coral reefs soon. Soon as 2040, it said. A period of well within the lifetime of much of the global population. This report is quite a shock and quite concerning, said Bill Hare. He was an author of a previous report. We were not aware of this just a few years ago. And I suppose anything's possible. You know where I stand on global warming, which it probably is happening, but then again, 4.5 billion years of history, guess what? It happens. Where does this presumption come that we human beings are the pinnacle of evolution? That somehow or another, if we don't stop what's happening here, it will be the end of all life on Earth forever. Well, at least for the next 5 billion years, because in 5 billion years, the sun's going to grow out here and destroy the Earth, and there's nothing you can do. There's no law, there's no rules, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's going to happen. And in 5 billion years, I won't care, and neither will you. Nobody will, because none of us will be here. This mentality that somehow or another we are the pinnacle of evolution and that nothing else can replace us, nothing else can happen. I've read stories. I call them stories because they're news reports, but it's ridiculous about how the dinosaurs themselves, the dinosaurs, the 900-year-old lizards who didn't stop growing because they wouldn't quit eating, managed themselves to change the environment. You know why? Because every living thing changes the environment somehow or another. You can't have an environment with, you can't have living creatures in an environment without impacting it. It's as simple as that. And of all the creatures that have ever lived on Earth, the one most likely to survive something like this would be man. Yeah, I get it. We're polluting and we should do something, and we have done things to make that happen. And again, here in the United States, we're not really the problem when you look at places like China and India, and they don't care. They don't care, and you can't make them care. None of your rules that you pass here have any effect on China or India at all. None. Zip, none, nada. And you will never convince me otherwise. Ever. Unless you're willing to invade China and take over and inflict and import our rules on them, ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. So we're back to, why should we flog ourselves because we're somehow or another, we're doing something horribly wrong. And we're not. Again, it's a very small portion of the population that feels this way. But again, the world changes. The one thing that changes, that never changes, is the fact that there's always change. 25,000 years. My son was talking about this on Saturday. Dad, the earth is heating up. We're all going, we got to do something. Why? Global warming is not necessarily a bad thing, my child. Where you're standing right now, 25,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, depending on whether you believe that nonsense or not. 25,000 years ago, our house was under a mile thick sheet of ice. If there was no global warming, we wouldn't live here. Adaptation, evolution, happen, folks. The earth changes. Are we changing the environment? Of course we are. We're living in it. We have to be changing it. That's the way it works. The people who most loudly insist that we accept evolution as a fact are the people who are least willing to accept its consequences. I've never understood why that is. It changes. Is it going to destroy humanity? Well, it might. 30 years ago, we were going to nuke ourselves out of existence. Before that, we were going to freeze out of existence. And before that, we were going to fight wars out of existence. And none of those things came to pass either. Adapt. Overcome. Move on. In 5 billion years, this planet won't be here anymore, and none of your rules will have changed any of that. Not gonna matter. Not gonna matter. So, just to kind of, I don't know. I had a plan for today. I really did. I had a whole outline, and sometimes I get off on rants and that's, where I end up. So I got in a conversation over the weekend about term limits. It started with term limits. We need term limits because Congress is out of control. And where the conversation actually started was the person said, we need to reinstate term limits. And I was like, reinstate? We never had them. Well, we do have them. They're every 2 years and every 6 years in Congress. But the problem is we the people aren't doing our job. And this caused some consternation about, well, how do we get people to do their jobs? How do we get we the people involved? It's got to start with education. I mean, it really does. It has to start with learning. It has to start with the idea that somehow or another we can be willing to accept that there are things that we may not agree with, may not like, may not want, and I may be wrong about. We have to start with a clean slate, folks. We have to start with this idea that somehow or another, there is something to be learned, as opposed to just this going on about, well, we're right, and that's the absolute end of it. Justice Ginsburg doesn't know the 14th Amendment. Bah, 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 bah. It starts with education. It starts with information. It starts with understanding history so that you can apply it to today. I was reading over the weekend about some Torah stuff, and one of the things they were talking about was the fact that the Torah is really, I mean, it's history, and to a degree it's history, but at the same time, it has to be applicable today or it's not worth anything. There has to be some applicability. It has to speak to us in today's world or it doesn't mean anything. And the same is true of American history, and the same is true of, it's important to understand. It's a foundational element. If you don't know where you started, how do you know where you're going? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If you don't know where you've been, how do you know where you're going? There has to be some applicability to it today. So I look at it as we have to start at the beginning. We have to start with the foundational beliefs. We have to start with why we do things the way we do, because usually when we don't start with that, we end up tearing down stuff for no reason because we don't understand why it's there. We don't like it. We have to do something. This is something, so we must do this. Let's inflict term limits on ourselves, even though they won't do what we think they're going to do. In fact, they'll cost us more money. Nobody ever thinks in those terms. It starts with education, but it ends with people thinking for themselves. It ends when we reach the point where people don't log onto the computer and see a headline and go, this is what I believe, without ever having read the article or thought about anything. We can disagree. We can even argue sometimes, debate, discuss, question. We can do all of those things. But if none of us are thinking about what we're doing, if none of us are taking that approach, if none of us are putting any actual thought, we're just repeating whatever idiotic point we've reached, been told to accept. Justice Ginsburg doesn't know it's in the 14th Amendment. If you've posted that, you need to go take it down because you're an idiot for posting it. It's not correct. If you think Judge Kavanaugh is going to overturn abortion, you're an idiot. You need to go think for yourself. We got to get to the point where people start thinking and start getting involved, where it's not just 5% of the population screaming and yelling, where it's all of us, because it affects all of us, which was actually Justice Ginsburg's point in that whole discussion was, we need to get more people politically engaged. But you probably missed that because you were still screaming about it in the 14th Amendment without ever having read the article or watched the video. It's easy to point the finger at the other side. It's easy to say those people are nuts. Those people are psychologically damaged. Those people are idiots. It's easy to do that, but it's not so fun when you've got to point it back at yourself, duh. Is it? Let's fix our own house. Because I don't really think the other side is really doing all that much good either. Got to get running. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. So don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Trust me. You don't. Got to get a big day today. We got to go get flu shots. So we're off doing that. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow for a Tuesday episode. Plausibly Ride Live right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And we're also available via podcast and on demand at podcast99.org, as well as the Dave Bowman Show.com. Have a great Monday, everybody. We're off and running for the week. We will see you tomorrow. Take care.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.